Well, I invite you to turn with the portion of the Word of God that was read, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And once again, I do count it a privilege to be with you today, minister God's Word. I always count it a privilege to bring God's Word to those who are in attendance. And we certainly pray that God would once again present Himself with us here tonight. I just wish that my stay was longer. This has been a bit of a whirlwind trip. I arrived yesterday afternoon, and our brother Joe picked me up at the airport, and then tomorrow I'll be flying out once again. So this has been a very quick trip, but certainly I have enjoyed time here with you folks, fellowshipping with you, and I want to thank Joe and Sharon Duffy for their hospitality. It's been a blessing to get to know them. In fact, I met Joe for the first time yesterday. But I certainly have enjoyed our fellowship together, and I just want to thank you for your hospitality. Well, as we turn now to Matthew chapter 6, I would like to focus on the verses from 25 down to verse 34, where it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on, not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment." As we have the word of God before us, let us once again bow in a word of prayer. Loving Father in heaven, how we praise and thank thee for the word of the living God. Thou hast not left us in darkness. Thou hast shined the glorious light of thy truth in the hearts of thy people. We thank thee that Jesus is the light. And he has said, "If I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Lord, that is our desire once again, that we would be drawn to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would love thee with sincerity. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. The wrath of God would be turned away. And Father, that we would be fully accepted of thee in the Savior. Lord, once again, we ask that thou cleanse our hearts from sin, that we would be purified by that blood. And Father, that as thy people, we would be sanctified, set apart for thee. And Lord, we're thankful for each one gathered in tonight. We pray thy blessing upon every soul here to encourage and to strengthen those who need thy help. Be gracious unto thy people, O God. There are great needs here in this place, and we pray that thou wilt meet those needs according to thy riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, that thou wilt have a word in season for our hearts. We need a message from heaven tonight to feed our souls. And we know that there is a God in heaven, one who meets with his people. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wilt draw nigh to every heart, that the Spirit of God would have his way within each and every one. And truly, O God, we know that thou wilt present thyself with us. And so undertake for me, Lord, help me to have a message for this people. I do not want to come to this pulpit in my own strength or in the arm of flesh. It fails. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt undertake for every aspect of this meeting tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Well, we certainly live in a day and age where people are troubled by many things. We have much to worry about, whether it be money or relationships or health. All these things weigh upon us. I mean, we're living in a time here in America, even, where America is in the midst of this massive economic crisis. And country needs bailout package after bailout package after bailout package. And seems no end to these things. And so there is much fear, much anxiety. What will the future hold? Will we be able to get through this time? Will there be a massive recession? I mean, whatever happens here in the U.S. certainly affects us up in Canada. I mean, we've had massive layoffs in our auto industry and various other industries. We're dependent upon the U.S. and our relationship with you folks. And so we certainly live in very troubling times where there is much anxiety. I mean, even in our personal lives, I mean, we can bring certainly stuff upon ourselves that causes anxiety and tribulation. I mean, there's something called rush sickness. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Rush sickness, where we try to cram 30 hours of activities into a 24-hour day. I don't know, have you experienced that? Where you're just trying to do too much, and you just wish there was more time in the day to get more accomplished. Or we're straining, where we're trying to get ahead as fast as we think we possibly can for that promotion or that social approval. We try to, again, to do too much, and we bring anxiety upon ourselves. Or there's a lot of people who are moving around a lot, changing homes, uprooting families, and so it's very difficult to get settled again in a new place, a new locale. All kinds of things that are on our minds, and certainly can make us very fearful. In fact, the symptoms of anxiety are staggering, from emotional disorders to serious health problems. In fact, there's many people who simply just worry themselves to death because they feel like they're overwhelmed. Hospitals and waiting rooms are filled with those people who are overwhelmed with anxiety. And as Christians, we can also fret about our daily activities, about our needs, about the turmoil that's perhaps going on in the country. And we ask, Lord, are you really with me? Lord, are you directing my life? Are you presencing yourself with me? Because Christians certainly are not free from worry and concern. In fact, I know myself, I can easily get worried and concerned about my own family. Will I be able to provide for my own family? Will we be able to pay the bills, as it were? Well, the Lord certainly undertakes for us. I mean, that's essentially what we get from this passage here tonight. As it says there in verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I mean, God takes care of his creation. He takes care of the needs of his people. And the whole crux of the matter here essentially is found in verse 33, where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all necessary things, shall be added unto you. Seek you first God. Make sure that your relationship with him is where it needs to be. Make sure Christ is your Lord, your Savior. Because once those things are taken care of, everything else will follow suit. Everything else will be taken care of. Remember, David said he never saw the righteous begging bread. God knows our needs before we even ask him. Remember that. And so we can have confidence towards God because he is one who supplies our needs. So Jesus had some very practical words here in his Sermon on the Mount. And our text tonight deals with that problem of anxiety that we can have, that worry that can enter into our hearts when we start thinking about our needs and our future. And is everything going to work out? Well, truly what we can gain from this passage tonight, that everything absolutely must turn out okay. God has a purpose and a plan for his people. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so, the Lord is that one who certainly draws near to us. He knows us intensely. He knows that we can be filled with fears. We can be filled with care. But the word declares that he certainly will supply all of our needs. And so, as we look at this text tonight, I'd like us to consider that Christians do not need to worry about the stuff of life. We don't need to worry because God is in control. God is in charge. He is a sovereign God who is directing every aspect of our lives. As we think about this subject, that we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry about things that we can't control. I mean, there's circumstances that certainly happen that we cannot control. And that's why he says here in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I mean, if we take thought, if we become worried, become concerned about all of the stuff of life, can we add one cubit to our stature? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass, the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so God, he is the one who certainly knows our needs, but we can't control all of our circumstances. We could not do anything about them, even if we tried. Worrying about them not only does not change them, it also robs us of our ability to deal with them when they come. In fact, Paul says in Philippians that we are to be content in all things, whether we have much, whether we have little. And he goes on to say in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Let us be content with the Lord and what he gives to us. And worrying about, potential issues and problems, it doesn't help the matter. Worrying about a problem doesn't fix the problem. But as we bring those problems unto God, as we seek the Lord, as he says there in verse 33, seeking first the kingdom of God, he's going to add these things to us. He's going to provide those needs. There is no shortage, ultimately, of potential items to worry about in our life. That's true. But we can add nothing to our life if we just are filled with worry and concern and so on. There was a lady in our church in Toronto who went through a great accident. In fact, her life was on the line, and she was at the point where I believe she needed over 120 units of blood just to keep her alive. That woman was in great need, but yet the Lord brought her through that situation, and even now is living a normal life again. God is using that woman. God had his hand upon her life, and even though she had a life-changing accident, yet the Lord turned her situation around where she's now fruitful and she is being used for the Lord. God is able to change situations. A situation in her life where it was very drastic. It seemed like things were not going to go well. She was going to pass away. But yet, in an instant, the Lord had his hand upon that lady. The Lord brought her through that terrible situation. And now she's living a normal life again. I mean, we think of our own life. I mean, how many times have we thought, well, I have no answer. This problem I'm facing is too difficult, too much for me. And we just brought it before the Lord. And he turned it around. And we're able to rejoice in him. I mean, oftentimes I think the Lord does these things to increase our faith, so that we will trust him more and more and more. And so, simply stated, we must learn to accept all of what life throws our way, all of what the Lord throws our way, and of course being content in these things, leaving them in the Lord's hands, because remember, he is an all-wise God who knows the best possible solution to everything that we could ever face, and obviously then deals with those situations in the best possible way. And so don't worry about things that you can't control. Don't be overly concerned, because God can turn it around. Also, don't worry about the little things in life. As it says there in verse 25, I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? I mean, Jesus points out here that some things are more important than others. I mean, certainly we need clothing, we need food, we need to provide for ourselves, but don't be overly concerned with these things. Don't be consumed with these things. Don't seek after these things as if that's the end-all to be-all of happiness. Because ultimately, wealth flees away. I mean, if all we're doing is watching our stock portfolios, we're going to be very desperate. as we watch it plummet away. And you wonder, well, what am I going to retire with? It's all been lost. But thankfully, we have a God who can provide in ways that we cannot foresee. And that the Lord, He steps in when all of life seems to be pulling away from us. And so may we be able to conquer worry, and especially over those things that are not as important, maybe, as spiritual matters. I mean, spiritual matters are the key. Making sure that, well, Jesus Christ certainly is in my life, that I'm involved with my Savior, that I know Him. Because the wonderful thing is He knows us. And that as I know Him, as I trust in Him, then as I live for Him day by day by day by day, each day will be blessed of Him. Each day will work out. I will get through it. And so I don't need to be overly concerned. There was a fellow who was a very timid man, and he traveled from place to place. He was always afraid of being robbed. Someone was going to take advantage of him. And one night he arrived in Pittsburgh. He checked into a hotel. He was nervous. He checked the closet in his room. He checked under the bed. He looked behind the drapes. He was very, very concerned about somebody was going to be in his room. He's going to rob him. And he was very, very afraid. And so after he looked into the bathroom, turned off the lights, he jumped into bed. And as a final precaution, he called out in the darkness, "Well, here I am, Pittsburgh. I'm broke again. I don't have anything." I mean, he was very drastic in his approach to life. He was afraid that even a few dollars in his pocket, someone's going to take it away. Well, you know, if someone was to take away a few dollars, is that the end of our lives? I mean, does my life hinge on the fact that I have $10 in my pocket or not? No. My life hinges on the fact that I have a loving God who is concerned for my well-being. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He directs our pathway. And if He directs me in a time of hardship, so be it. Praise Him. I obviously need to be down there in the valley if I need to learn something about my relationship with my Lord. And may I spend time down in the valley if it means that I'm going to be drawn closer to Him, that my faith is going to be increased, that I'm going to love Him more and more and more. I'd much rather have that than to be the most wealthy person in the world, have need of nothing, and have need not, or do not need my God. I want to live in a life that shows an absolute dependence and need upon my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so may we trust our Heavenly Father to provide for us as He has promised to do so. I mean, He has promised to provide everything. And as we live one day at a time, may we be able to handle each worry, each concern as it comes. Because oftentimes our concerns, our worries, our anxieties never come to pass. And we become overly concerned for that which, well, really may not amount to very much. Don't worry about the little things in life. They will be taken care of. But also don't worry, because God provides for those who seek Him. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're seeking Him first. We're not seeking after material things first. We're not seeking after our personal well-being first. But we're seeking our God. Making sure that everything is in its right place in my relationship with Him. That Jesus Christ is my Savior. That I'm under the blood. That my sins have been cleansed and washed away. That I'm separated unto Him. That I possess His righteousness. Remember, if we see God, and if we appear before Him in our own righteousness, we're lost. Dead in sins. Wages of sin is death. I mean, He has a place called hell for those who willfully reject Him. I have to make sure that I have His righteousness. I mean, that is the most precious thing that we could ever have, that I possess the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that I'm covered by His precious blood, that my Savior is there interceding for me. I'm seeking first that which is most important. Because how do we define righteousness? What is righteousness? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, when we define righteousness, it's essentially conforming to a standard. God has a standard for us to meet, to maintain. He has given us His word, His law. And if we break just one of the aspects of His law, then we will be under His judgment. The curse came upon mankind because Adam chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One act of disobedience brought the curse of sin upon all mankind. But that's the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ. He perfectly conformed to God's standard for us. He lived a perfect life of obedience. But it wasn't for Himself. He's already God. I mean, He didn't have to come into this world for Himself. Everything that Jesus Christ did in this world was in an act of intercession upon for you and for me. Everything, the life that He lived, the fact that He laid down His life, all of it was for you and for me, with an eye to save His people, so that you and I would conform to God's standard, be perfect in His sight. I mean, that's what Jesus does. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're not seeking our own righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. We fall short of His glory. But when we seek His righteousness, we conform to His standards, and He supplies everything in His Son, Jesus Christ. Seek God to provide, and then leave the worry to Him. I mean, that's not easy to do. But let the Lord worry about how I'm going to make it through this life, because God has promised that He would grant to us His Spirit to guide us and direct us, show us the way in which we are to go. Because the one thing that God does not provide is this, a spirit of fear. God does not supply to us a spirit of fear. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gives to us. And so if we're fearful, we're full of anxiety, we're full of worry, that doesn't come from Him, that comes from us. Because we're fully not believing that He's going to supply everything for me, that He's going to undertake for me. I'm essentially saying, Lord, I don't believe You. I don't believe that You're with me, that You're guiding me, that You're directing me. I don't believe it. I mean, when we have worry and fear and concern, that's essentially what we're saying, isn't it? Because God gives to us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. God does not cause His people to be full of anxiety. The opposite is true. I mean, didn't He say in Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee? I mean, that's what God said to His people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I mean, that's the promise of God that we can lay hold upon. That we don't need to be dismayed. That He strengthens us, helps us, and upholds us. Of course, with the right hand of His righteousness. There's that word righteousness again, where He conforms us to His standard. I mean, that term fear that Paul uses is that of timidity, of nervousness, of being fearful, cowardice, or a lack of courage. It's essentially even going beyond anxiety to being frightened, worried about something that's going to happen. And the Lord does not give us a spirit of fear, to be frightened or overly worried. I mean, there was a lady that came to our house one time when we moved into our house in Ajax. Ajax is just outside of Toronto. We have something called the Welcome Wagon. I don't know if you have that here. When you move into a new home, there's an organization that wants to welcome you into the community. Well, this lady was a part of the Welcome Wagon, and she called us up and wanted to give us a free gift. I mean, it's always nice when somebody calls you up and says, I want to give you something. It's free. Well, I thought, wow, that's wonderful. Okay, why don't you come and give me this free gift? So she came to the house, knocked on the door, and, "Hello, sir, how are you today? I've come to give you your free gift." Now, we have two dogs. They're small dogs. They're a cross between a Maltese and a Lhasa Apso. I don't know if you know that type of dog, but very cute. We love them. Well, she came to my house. "Oh, you have lovely little dogs. Aren't they great and cute? Sir, wouldn't you want to protect them? Won't you be afraid if anything would happen to them or anything that would happen to your home? Sir, what I would like to give to you is a free alarm system. And we'll install it for free. We'll take care of everything, sir. You want to take care of your puppies. You want to take care of your home. You want to make sure that nothing's going to happen to your house." And then she went on about how people can break into homes and attack you. And she was starting to play on my fears. "This can happen, sir. That can happen. We know stories of people just in their home, and there's been a home invasion. All you have to do is hit a button and cry out for help, and somebody's going to come immediately. Don't you want that, sir?" And so this free gift actually was going to cost me $200 for the installation fee and $30 a month. Isn't that nice? Don't you like that kind of free gift? Well, I said to her, "No, thank you." And I mean, she wouldn't take no for an answer. But essentially, I said to her, "I mean, I have a God who looks after me. The Lord God is interceding for me. I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to be dismayed about. Because my God strengthens me. My God helps me. My God upholds me with the right hand of his righteousness. I don't need your alarm system. I don't need to be paying $30, $40, $50 a month to make myself feel safe. I am more safe in the hands of my God than I could ever be by your alarm system." God has not given us the spirit of fear. We have absolutely nothing to be frightened about, because when the Holy Ghost comes in the life and the heart, those who are naturally timid can become very bold. And remember the disciples when the Lord Jesus was taken away? I mean, they were frightened. They were fearful. They thought, "What's going to happen to this faith? The Savior was just crucified." They became scattered. Peter wanted to go away fishing, going back to his old life. What was it that turned their life around? What made them so bold that they even confronted the high priest and those who had crucified Christ? I mean, it was the risen Lord. The risen Lord appeared to them. And then they saw that this is not just a man-centered, man-made religion. This is about one who died and lives. This is about a God who is omnipotent, that he even brings himself back to life and shows himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect before them. I mean, that's what we have in Christ, a powerful God. I mean, who can stay his hand? Who can tell him, "What doest thou?" Nobody. All must submit to him. In fact, there's one day when every person will bow before him and call him Lord. I mean, that's the one that we serve. We don't need to worry, because God provides completely for those who seek him. That's why it becomes very important for all of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all necessary things will be added to you. What is your concern today? What are you facing? What are you going through? I mean, we all have issues. I know it, because we're human. But remember, the Lord knows these things, and he provides for the needs of his people. And last here tonight, we don't need to worry about things in the future. I mean, we obviously are always looking toward the future. What does the Lord have for me around the corner? Well, Christ said here in verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I mean, what are two words that we are constantly saying to ourselves? Isn't it, "What if? What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What happens if this comes to pass? What are we going to do? What if? What if? What if? And those are the two most worry-filled words in the English language, aren't they? Anxious speculation over the future does not empty tomorrow of its trials. But it certainly robs our joy. There is no joy when we are concerned about the future. And remember, as believers, it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. When we look away from ourselves and our circumstances and our concerns, we look away to an all-wise, loving God. We look away to our Savior, the one who completely intercedes for us. Look away from yourself and gain the joy of the Lord, which you need. Rejoice in Christ and what He has done for you and done for your soul. Has prepared a place for you in glory, is going before you. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Footsteps in the Sand poem, where there's a man walking along the beach and he sees the footsteps, and in the trials and the worst parts of his life, rather than seeing four sets of footprints, his and the Lord's, he only sees his own, and he's wondering, what's going on, Lord? How come you left me in the worst parts of my life? Where were you? You familiar with the poem? Well, the two footprints were the Lord's. The Lord was carrying that one. Said, I carried you. What are you talking about? Those aren't your footprints. They're mine. And that's what the Lord does. He carries us. He is constantly carrying us. In fact, I think He carries me more than ever. And I'm sure you experience the same. Worrying about tomorrow does not help either tomorrow or today. I mean, especially today. And if anything, it robs us of our effectiveness and our fruitfulness in living the Christian life. Because we're so wrapped up in, well, what's going to happen to me tomorrow, that, well, I'm not maybe serving the Lord how I need to today. May the Lord help us to be fruitful for Him, bearing fruit for Him. Remember, He's divine. We're the branches. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so, ultimately, we are dependent upon Him, and we need to increase that dependence upon Him. Now, it is right to plan for the future. It is right to save for the future. We need to think about tomorrow. We don't just ignore the future. I mean, someday, we certainly will be retiring, or perhaps you're retired now. We certainly need to plan for the future. But we don't have it fill our hearts and minds. It's not the end-all to be-all of life to make sure that I'm going to have a comfortable retirement. But once again, may we not be so filled with worry and concern that it robs us today of the blessings that we need in Christ. And there are three words in this section that point the way to victory over worry. Did you see that? It says there in verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass in the field, which is today, or which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The one key thing that helps to overcome worry is what? Faith. Believing in God. Trusting in God. He says, if you're so concerned with it, you're of little faith. Where's your faith? Belief. In fact, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and I mean mustard seeds are apparently the smallest of all seeds, they're absolutely tiny. Even if we exhibit a little faith, what can we do? We can say unto a mountain, be thou removed, and it's going to be removed. But things happen when you have faith. You believe God. Believe His word and trust in His promises. Trusting God in all aspects and circumstances of life. Faith. Lord, increase my faith. Give me faith. Help me to look beyond my circumstances to my God, who says with Him, all things are possible. All things are possible with the Lord. He is also, as it says there in verse 32, our Father, our Heavenly Father. Verse 32, after all these things, after being clothed and drink and eat, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I mean, we have a Father. The relationship that we enjoy with God is a family relationship. I mean, how many people here are parents? Do you not look at your children and say, well, my children, they need certain things. I want to provide them. And you do your best to provide for the needs of your family. I mean, that's inherent in us. We want to do that, to provide the best for our families. Well, how much more is God desiring to provide the best for us because we are His children? And He does so. He does provide the best for us. I mean, sometimes we don't look at it that way, but He's always providing the best for us. He gives me what I need. And sometimes I need to go to the valley. If that's what I need, Lord, send me there. If it has to be dark, if it has to be difficult, send me there. Because You're providing the best for me. You're always providing the best for me as my Heavenly Father. Remember, He loves us with an everlasting love. So much so, remember, that God commendeth or showeth His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I mean, what greater provision could God ever give to us in sending His Son to take our place, to take away His wrath, to put our sins upon Him, so that we will not bear His wrath? God provides the best. He provided His Son. That's why we trust Him. And that's the victory that we have over worry. He is our Father. And He freely gives us all things in His Son, Jesus Christ. But ultimately, we don't just need faith. He's not just our Father. But what do we do first? It says there in verse 33, seek ye first. That's the first thing we're to do. Putting God's will first in our lives so that He would be glorified in us and through us. Lord, You're first. It's not about me. Not about my life. Not about making myself feel good. I mean, you know the acrostic for joy? I mean, we sing this in our Sunday schools. The Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Christ first for joy. Others second for joy. And then comes ourselves. So if we have faith in our God, we put Him first, then we overcome worry. We don't need to be filled with anxiety. We don't need to be fearful about what's going to happen in my life. What's going to happen in the future? May we truly rest on Him. Because He's a wonderful God. And He's one who says, serve me freely. I mean, He doesn't force us to serve Him. Remember that. He is gracious unto us. And so we freely give our lives to Him because Christ willingly gave Himself for us. And do we need to really lose sleep over something that may or may not come to pass? I mean, there's one fellow who said that a speech cost him 2 nights sleep. I mean, it can be a very fearful thing to speak in front of people. It doesn't come easy. But this fellow, he gave a speech, and he said it cost him 2 nights sleep. One beforehand, thinking what he should say, concerned about what he should say, and the one afterwards and thinking how much better he might have said it. How true it is. When you're up before people, it can be very, very difficult. But as far as life goes and circumstances, we never need to be overwhelmed. Because it is a fruitless activity to be overly concerned about life. It does not add anything to our height or 1 hour to our life. It doesn't benefit us in any way possible. And it, of course, it's very difficult. Worry becomes very, very easy. But may we be able to come before God and say, Lord, take it. This is Your need. This is Your circumstance. Lord, this is Your concern. Lord, take it. I don't want to bear it. I just want to rejoice in Thee and Thy goodness to me. I just want to rejoice in Your word and the benefits that I have in being a believer. Lord, I just want to trust You have faith in you. Help me, Lord. Help me this day to casting my cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Casting all our cares upon Him, but because He cares for us. He cares for us individually and wants to uphold us and maintain us. And so tonight, as we have looked at this text, He says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, the body than raiment? Lord provides for His creation, for the fowls, for the lilies, everything in its proper place. He does it all. Consider these things. I mean, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like the lilies that we have. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass, today is, tomorrow cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Of course He is. He's going to clothe you all right. He's going to take care of you. But what should you do? Take no thought. Do not be anxious. Do not be overly worried, saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to be clothed with? For after these things the Gentiles seek. Unbelievers think this way. Seek after these things. But make sure that you are seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness for you, and then all these things. Don't worry. They're going to be taken care of, because God takes care of His own. And that's the wonderful blessing it is in being a Christian. Amen. May the Lord bless His truth to our hearts tonight. Let us just bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have many promises in this word. When Thou dost say, fear not, for I am with Thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Thy God. I will strengthen Thee, I'll help Thee. Yea, I will uphold Thee with the right hand of My righteousness. Lord, this is Thy word to us. This is what we're depending upon. Lord, Thou dost speak in truth to us, as we learned this morning. Thou dost not deceive us or lie to us. That's why we trust Thee. Lord, increase that trust. Help us to walk with Thee day by day, practically in our daily living. Father, we need Thy help in this, because we do worry about the future. We do worry about the things that are going on in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces. Father, these are the things that oftentimes are important to us. Father, we praise Thee that they're important to Thee as well. And Father, that Thou dost undertake for us. Lord, we praise Thee that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to Thy purpose, that Thou art going to and fro upon the whole earth, showing Thyself strong on behalf of Thy people. And so, Father, we pray that Thou wilt strengthen each and every one here tonight, that we would seek the Lord and we would seek Thee right early, before things get to a point where we become so overwhelmed with fear. And Father, that we would be casting our cares upon Thee, because Thou dost care for us. And so, Father, help us to leave this place rejoicing in the Lord, praising Thee for Thy goodness, because Thou dost freely provide for us all things in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, if there is one here who is overwhelmed with care and concern, don't know where the answers are going to come from for a problem, a difficulty, a challenge, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw near to that one, that Thou wilt comfort the heart of that one. Help that person realize that there is an all-wise God at the helm, and that He's going to direct in the best possible way. And so, Father, we praise Thee that Thou art a firm foundation upon which we can build our lives. And Lord, that Thou wilt establish us in Thy truth. Watch over us now. Bring us home in safety. Lord, may this week be a fruitful week where we serve Thee with all our hearts. Direct us by Thy Spirit. And Father, that we would glorify Thee. We would glorify Christ. We praise Thee again for our Savior. We're thankful that He loved us with such an everlasting love that He willingly gave that life for us. And so, Lord, we pray that truly He would be glorified in us and through us. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.